our radio program with Philip Van Winkle.
Go over, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. And we're going to go through some passages here, and I will just mention them rather than read the whole thing for you. But you can go back sometime and look at these on your own. But we're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to go all the way through Hebrews chapter 10. The writer speaks of those who through faith would inherit the promises. This is Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. The promises were made to Abraham according to verse 13. God's promise to Abraham's heirs were confirmed with an oath according to verse 17. And in fulfilling this promise, we have a high priest, even Jesus, whose priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek, who is the forerunner into heaven, or that which is within the veil, verse 20. And then when you start reading in chapter 7 of Hebrews, verses 1 through 10 really talks about Melchizedek and his priesthood, and we'll not talk about that right now, but verse 11 says that perfection or completeness was not by the Levitical priesthood. Under that priesthood, the law was received. However, this priesthood was insufficient because there was further need of another priest after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron. In other words, it wasn't after the Levitical priesthood under that Old Testament Mosaic law. Verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 7 also says, because the priesthood was changed, the law by necessity also was changed. The reason for this was that the Old Testament law was administered by priests out of the tribe of Levi. This was given by God through Moses. Our Lord Jesus Christ came from the tribe of Judah, not from Levi, according to verse 14. Of the tribe of Judah, Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. And so, since God made Jesus our high priest, and Jesus could not be a priest under that Ten Commandment law given by God through Moses, this change in the priesthood made it necessary to change the law. Before Jesus could become priest, the law had to be changed, or else Jesus broke the law. And then, down in verse 18, said the commandment going before, that is, the old law, the law of Moses, was disannulled. Three reasons are given in verse 19. First of all, it says the law was weak, the law was unprofitable, and the law made nothing perfect. And that word perfect is complete or whole. It made nothing or no one whole. Although the old law made nothing perfect, verse 19 says the bringing in of a better hope did indeed make complete or make perfect. A better hope, well, better than what? Well, better than the hope that was extended back in the Ten Commandment law. Comparing the old law and that old system of hope to the new law and this new system of hope. Verse 19, it says, we draw near unto God or nigh unto God by a better hope, not by that old law. Look at the word better. Now, we're not saying that the law which came from God through Moses was not good. It was good. What we are saying is that what God gave through Christ is better. Why anyone would cling to something that is only good when he could exchange it for something that is better, I don't really understand. If a little girl gets a new bicycle, why would she want to hold on to her old one? Well, she doesn't do that because she knows that the new bicycle is better. And yet many people exhaust themselves trying to prove that Christians are governed by that Old Testament. From what we see, actually, Christians draw near unto God by the better hope than that which was offered by that Old Testament. You get down to verse 22. It says, Jesus being made a priest forever with an oath is our surety of a better covenant. The Levitical priesthood was changeable by death. Verse 23, you know, a priest would die and they would have to find a new priest. But not so with Jesus. Jesus' priesthood, according to verse 24, is unchangeable. He's never going to die. Jesus Christ is our high priest. You come over to Hebrews chapter 8 now, and verse 1 will tell us that Jesus is our high priest. Verse 2, as such, he is the minister of a true tabernacle. The Lord, not man, pitched this tabernacle. The Levitical priest served as an example or as a shadow of heavenly things, according to verse 5. Christ's ministry is more excellent than their ministry, and two reasons are shown. First of all, verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 8 says, he is a mediator of a better covenant. And then it also says, this covenant is established upon better promises. Now, according to verse 7, if the first covenant, that old law, that Ten Commandment law, had been faultless, then there would be no reason for the second. But it says that God found fault with those under that first covenant. Those people under that first covenant. God promised to make a new covenant in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 8. The new covenant was not to be like that first covenant, according to verse 9. And so, by saying a new covenant, God made that first covenant old. You know, when the little girl comes to the door and says, I got a new bicycle, she automatically makes her previous bicycle old. And by him saying a new covenant, he has now made that first covenant old. The writer of Hebrews has led the Hebrew mind along carefully and patiently until at this point he can announce that that old system was ready to vanish away in verse 13. Next, he describes many things talking about the old or that first covenant, which were ready to vanish away. And sometime you should go back and you should read these on your own. They're found in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Things like a worldly sanctuary or a tabernacle or the golden censer or the Ark of the Covenant and tables of the covenant and mercy seat. Plenty of things that you could go back and look at. But here's what we need to remember, that the Ten Commandments were on the tables of the covenant. And so in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 8, it says, the way into the holiest of all was not yet shown while the first tabernacle was yet standing. The tabernacle was only a figure for the time that was then. Gifts and sacrifices were offered in this tabernacle, according to verse 9, but they could not make the conscience complete. Verse 9. They could only suffice as far as meats and drinks and different washings until the time of the Reformation. And then in verse 11 it says, Christ became the high priest by a greater and more perfect tabernacle. And so verse 13 and 14, Christ's blood is far superior to the blood of bulls and goats as under the first covenant. Christ is the mediator of this New Testament according to verse 15. And we also learn in verse 16 and 17, his death redeemed the sins of those that were committed under that first covenant. This New Testament was not in force until after his death. The law which came by Moses was dedicated with blood, according to verse 18 through 22. Every law was first spoken. It was dedicated with blood. God enjoined every word of this testament in all of its parts, moral, civil, religious, all of it, to the people. And now we come to verse 23. The law contained only patterns of heavenly things. These patterns were purified by an animal's blood. But verse 23 makes it clear, heavenly things had to be purified with a better sacrifice. Verse 24 says, holy places made by hands were only figures of the true holy place. Christ entered into heaven itself, according to verse 24, and now appears before God on our behalf. Christ offered himself once and for all. Not as a high priest under the law did one time a year, but Christ is always and forever our sacrifice. And then we come to chapter 10, The law by Moses had a shadow of good things to come. Sacrifices under it could not make its worshippers perfect or complete, according to Hebrews 10, verse 1. The blood of bulls and goats, that which was under that first law, it was not able to take away sin, according to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 4. God had no pleasure in sacrifice, in offerings that were offered by that law, according to verses 5 through 8. And therefore, God took away the first covenant, that first testament, in order to establish the second. And that's what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 tells us.
The book of Hebrews clearly shows us that living under the New Testament is better than the spiritual life under the Old Testament, if for no other reason, we can have forgiveness of our sins. To become a child of God and have our sins forgiven, we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, as we read in John 3:16. We need to repent of our ways and follow Christ, as we see in Acts 2:38. We need to confess our belief in Jesus to other men, as we read in Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And we need to be immersed in baptism for the forgiveness of our sins, as we read in Acts 2:38. Then we can live under the New Testament, the New Covenant, faithfully serving Jesus, and having all the spiritual blessings that go with that life. Finally, we then receive the eternal reward of life in heaven with God. But to receive that inheritance, we must obey the last will and testament of Jesus Christ.